There were bats smoking. There were bats with tattoos. There were blonde bats. There were brown bats and darker brown bats and blonde bats. I tried to text David Attenborough for like half an hour. One of the most remarkable things is the blonde bat. Originally from Malibu, California, migrated to Jamaica during the Honduran champagne season.
That's comedian Greg Proops from his latest album, French Drug Deal. Besides being a great stand-up, Greg's also famous for his improv work on Whose Line Is It Anyway? So it's no surprise that he ended up improvising his latest album. And he's such a pro that you probably won't even notice. I sure didn't. One of the cool things about his album is that the cover looks just like The Clash's London Calling. And that got me thinking. Since The Clash is known as the only band that matters, does this mean that Greg is riffing off this punk rock tagline in a subtle, suitably Proopsian way? Is he making the case that Greg Proops is the only comedian that matters?
Not only am I the only comedian that matters, I'm the only one who's not going to lie to you. There's a lot of them out there that'll lie. When I lie, it's really just fantasy strung together for mere amusement. There's no harm in it. So,
I love your honesty. Thank you so much, Greg, for being so honest. Besides being a great stand-up comedian, you're also famous for your improvisational work on the American and British editions of Whose Line Is It Anyway? So I have to ask you, did you improvise any of your jokes on French Drug Deal?
I improvised all of them. I went in with an idea of what I wanted to talk about. And then we recorded over a weekend last New Year's Eve in San Francisco at the Punchline. So I had a chance to do them set four or five times. And we recorded four of them. And so I extrapolated from each one and did different things and then sort of honed it. But I made up the whole album, yeah. None of it was set down written material that I'd thought of beforehand.
So let's talk about the title track, which I'm assuming is the first single, French Drug Deal. What's the origin story behind it?
Well, I was in Paris with my wife, which I try to take her there every year. So we do a podcast there over at Shakespeare and Company, the English language bookstore in Paris. And we were coming back from the podcast and it was we're walking down the rue, as it were. It was after a big football game. The French were playing Morocco. And the French police, as they often do, overreacted and had 20,000 police on the street. I don't know what they thought was going to happen, whether the Moroccans were going to riot. As you know, when the French win, they don't go bananas. They just kind of smoke and pretend to sing songs that they're not very good at. So they won. And we were standing on the street and a burgundy SUV, I swear to you, came bumping down the street. Playing La Marseillaise at top volume. Bum ba bum 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 ba bum ba bum ba bum ba bum ba bum ba bum. Here's your weed. Bum ba bum ba bum ba bum. Marchand, marchand. Man, we need to class it up here. I've never been in Texas and seen someone driving along and all of a sudden, I'm as free as a bird now. Hey, Caleb, here's your meth. Lord help me, I can't change.
Yeah. One of the recurring themes on French Drug Deal is animals. You talk about fruit bats. You talk about cockatoos, chickens. Was this intentionally planned that way or did it just kind of happen?
It just happened, Doug. I started telling stories. I think three or four of the stories start with Jennifer and I were in Australia, Jennifer and I were in Hawaii, Jennifer and I were in France. And I realized that I was being repetitive and telling the same. Well, that all we did was change locations. And so it turns out that in every country, there's some sort of animal encounter. And as you can probably guess, I'm not a huge outdoor person. For me, outdoors is where you park the car to take a picture before you go somewhere to get coffee. And so it wasn't intentional, but I've been attacked by fruit bats in Australia. I've been attacked by Caribbean bats in Jamaica. And I've been ignored and derided by chickens in Hawaii. I've had chickens openly deride me and make fun of me.
What's to make fun of, though?
We went to a foods truck, and I ordered the pork in fact, it was called Pork Heaven, which I think is self-explanatory.
And yeah, then, but it wasn't. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to tell you this, Greg. When I first heard that, I thought I heard it as Poor Kevin, and I was waiting to hear.
Poor Kevin.
I was going to hear this sad story about Kevin, and then you, when you said it a few more times, I realized, no, it's Poor Kevin.
It says Poor Kevin in big black magic marker, Poor Kevin. And I was like, that sounds intriguing. We've all wanted to go to Poor Kevin, but some of us have been afraid to utter that to our partner. So thank you for that mild laughter on that one.
So Poor Kevin would be a great track. I should have called it Poor Kevin. If I had been clever, I would have called the track Poor Kevin. And my wife said, I'll have the chicken. And if you've ever been to Maui or any island in Hawaii, there's chickens everywhere. I mean, they're roaming freely. Even Hawaiians will admit to you there's too many bloody chickens. There's a very laissez-faire attitude toward the chicken population there. There were chickens all around this food truck, literally scratching at our feet. And Jennifer said, I'll have the chicken. And the guy in the food truck went, there's no chicken. And I was like, there's chicken pretty much everywhere. Why don't we knock one of these ones out? See what you can do. Put some curry on it. Let's go. And so as we ate our lunch, which was pork, the chickens gathered around us and were like, not this time, bro. Not this time.
Yeah. You have a very versatile voice and you've put it to good use on Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. I especially loved your impressions of a Southwest Airlines pilot named Mike. What's your take on Southwest Airlines pilots?
Airline pilots seem to me to be a group of men with mustaches named Mike. I never see an American flag tie. I hardly ever see women pilots once in a while, and I fly every day, or pilots that aren't white guys. I feel like a lot of them were at January 6th, let's be honest.
Yeah, and I loved you. You did that, like you just nailed the impressions, the impressions of them over the coming over the speakers.
When you're in the airport and you see them at, a pretzel place or whatever, or the Cinnabon, they're like, can I help you? The pilots don't go,
yeah, 35,000 Cinnabons. Just about reached Cinnabon altitude here. If you look out the left side of the Cinnabon, you'll see the Zabarro Pizza.
I think the tyranny of guys named Mike flying planes needs to end one day.
It does. And the fact that you're bringing attention to it, I think, is like a step in the right direction of ending this tyranny.
Yeah,
absolutely. So thank you for doing that on behalf of everyone. In 2009, you appeared on The View to talk about a science game show that you were part of. And it was produced by Whoopi Goldberg, who, of course, was also on The View at that time and probably still is. I don't know, but I haven't kept up with it anyway. And you have this great story about a psychic who was also a guest on the show. Can you tell us about that?
I did a show for Whoopi that she produced called Head Games, not based on the song by Foreigner. And the only reason I got on The View, Doug, let's be honest, is that Whoopi was producing the sci-fi show. I mean, the show was on Discovery Channel. And it was a science quiz show. It was pretty light stuff. What's a photon or whatever and blah, blah, blah. Barbara Walters had a friend. One of her crew had a wife, and the wife was a psychic. And so she put this woman on. She was a bit like a televangelist. She had sort of archaic hair that was immovable, and that sort of rictus that the people who are certain of their insanity, her eyes were glittering with misapprehension, right? And she went, I want you to know that recently I've spoken with Michael Jackson, and he wants us all to know that he's okay. And everybody looked at everybody. Joy and I looked at each other and Whoopi and whatnot, and like, are you sure you just spoke with Michael Jackson? So now it gets to my segment. Even the View audience at this point was like, what is happening? And Barbara, I could tell, wanted to melt into the earth because this woman was just going on in sheer insanity. And so I'm next and I pitch up and they're like, okay, here's the comedy of Greg Proops. And before the segment starts, I look over at Whoopi and she can see the look in my eye. And she just leans over to me and goes, don't.
That's all. Ha ha! Joy goes, tell us about the show. And I go, it's a science game show, and people test their knowledge of science against one another. And Einstein called me the other day and told me that he loved the show. And then Newton called with Copernicus and said that they thought it, Mary Curie said, this show will have a half-life of 5 million years.
Was Whoopi mad at you? Did she hold a grudge?
No, her and Joy were trying to contain themselves. They're both comedians. Yeah. I know them. And, you know, they have to do a lot of acting on the show. They have to listen to Alyssa Farrar give her opinion. And they had to, in the old days, listen to Elizabeth Hasselbeck give her opinion. And these are people of the Alyssa Farrar, Elizabeth Hasselbeck school of punditry who say things like, well, it may not be a fact, but I just know how I feel. So after you heard that, one time I asked Whoopi, how can you sit through it? And she went, oh, child, you just have to listen to them and just move on. And I'm like, got it.
One of the tracks on French Drug Deal is called Making White People Happy. What inspired this one?
White people are so angry. Like right now I hear white people say things like, I don't like the, for instance, this week, there was several pundits who wrote that they felt that Biden should step down. I guess because Biden's doing too good of a job, or they'll say Vice President Harris should step down, but they can't quite put their finger on the reason why they don't like Vice President Harris. Now, there's been 45 white guys who've been vice president, and some of them have been remarkable. You've got your Hubert Humphreys and your Joe Bidens, and then some of them have been Dan Quayle and Mike Pence and worse. All of a sudden, they're mad at her. So to me, it's like, what would make white people happy? Kamala Harris was sworn into office on January 5th. Senators Ossoff and Warnock from Georgia were sworn into office, a Jewish man and a black man. And the next day, they attacked the Capitol. And not a coincidence. I think white people really can't believe that the world is being taken away from them by Jews and black people all at once. They'd been told for a year that no matter what happens, they would have won, right? He kept saying, I don't care what the vote is, I win. And then when he didn't win, they weren't really able to handle that. So I what would make white people happy? White people are in charge of everything. If you read the newspaper or watch television, it's, I guess what the question is, as a white person speaking to another white person, when will we be heard from? When will our opinion be heard? I ask you. Why must we be shunted to the side? When will you see a white pundit on TV talk about stuff they don't know about? When?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'll be around for that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you think is the biggest problem in stand-up comedy right now?
I think that there's a lot of comics who have no moral barometer. I think that the problem is there's a lot of polemic and nonsense and right-wing dogma that a lot of comics are putting forward.
That woke stuff must really constrain your comedy.
Well, I have a thing that I subscribe to called taste and manners. And this is how it works. If you haven't the taste to not make fun of people who cannot defend themselves, and you haven't the manners to not be racist, bigoted, sexist, and transphobic and homophobic all the time, then you really oughtn't be a comedian. You can be a policeman or a Republican senator or something.
And I think that a lot of comics don't have any taste and a lot of comics don't have any manners. If that sounds churlish, I don't mean to be. However, I've been around a really long time. And I think a lot of young comics are fantastic. When you go to clubs, you can't get away with the kind of racist, sexist nonsense that when I started in the early 80s in San Francisco, you know, Chinese driver jokes and gay jokes, those don't play anymore. They really don't. Having said that, there's plenty of redneck nonsense going on out there. And I don't think supporting the dominant paradigm is what a comic's supposed to do. I think you're supposed to question what's going on. I don't think Lenny Bruce died so that I could hear podcasters go on and tell people not to get vaccinated, in other words.
Very well said. Very well said. Yeah, thank you. I was going to ask you that because that part went over really like gangbusters, that whole line about if you haven't the taste to not make fun of people, that whole bit, which you kind of recited for us, that is really bang on. Greg Proops, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on what we think is your 10th album, French Drug Deal. It's smart, funny comedy that you haven't dumbed down for some mass bonehead audience, and we appreciate that. My apologies for plagiarizing Seinfeld, but I think you'll be okay with it.
Thank you so much, Doug. What a pleasure to talk to you today. I appreciate it.
Greg Proops is the only comedian that matters and the only one who's not going to lie to you. Find out more about Greg and his album French Drug Deal at WPR.org/beta.
The whole invite them up scene back in New York in early 2000s was just all a bunch of sweethearts, you know, sweetheart, brilliant, weirdo, genius people. And it was great. It was nice to be accepted.
Coming up, comedian and musician Reggie Watts joins us to talk about his memoir, Great Falls, Montana. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.